Let's get into the Word. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written Word. I'm believing you, Father, for great and mighty things to happen not only in my life, but in the people here and in this entire area. I believe your Spirit is about ready to break out like never before, maybe never even seen in this capacity or range before. We ask you to prepare us today that we may just do it. That we don't have to fall back or fall behind, but we be right on the sharp point of the spear, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to prepare me, prepare these people, prepare us, show us how to walk with you, Holy Spirit, that we may know you and know your power personally in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory be to God forever. Well, we've begun a series on the person and work of the Holy Ghost. The person and work of the Holy Ghost. He's a person. What if you have a person who comes into your house and you ignore him all the time? It's not really treating him like a person. Alan was just sharing a story about the guy who wasn't, they aren't treated like people, are they? Anybody with like a crippling disease or something, they're treated less than human. Pick them up with a shovel and throw them outside the city. They're worthless. Worthless. Don't do that to the Holy Ghost. You know how many people, how many churches have turned the Holy Ghost away? He was the third person of the Trinity. He's less than everybody else. We really don't need him. All we need is Jesus. We don't need the Holy Ghost. Slap. Yay. Do you know how offended he has been? I remember laying on my bed and praying, just worshiping the Holy Ghost, and he revealed to me a meeting that we'd be having in the future. Does God do that? Yes, God does that. Anyways, he revealed to me a meeting, and I said, Holy Ghost, I'm excited. We're going to go to this meeting, and things are going to happen. And he goes, in this little boy's voice, I know that may sound weird to you, but this is, I just heard that tone in his voice. He said, did they come to see me? Did they really come to see me? And it made me want to cry because here's the Holy Ghost. He wants your attention so much, so much. And we're going to get into that today. He wants your attention more than anybody, more than anything. And the church at large has just rejected him as some kind of squalor. Well, we don't want that tongues. We don't want the gifts of the Spirit. They're all too weird. We don't want, you know, the power vibrating in and the wind and all these other things. That's just a manifestation of him. And when you embrace him, this is how he manifests himself. Right? It's part of his personality. My personality is one way. I come over to your house and I act a certain way and eventually you want me to leave. But the Holy Ghost is the same way. He has a personality. He is someone. He's not nothing. We call him the third person of the Trinity because of the way Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But he's no less. In fact, if you look in the Scriptures and you see who the Holy Spirit of God is, the other two lift him up even more than the Father and the Son. You can't blaspheme him. You can't speak evil of him. You can grieve him. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. He's the one. He's the one with whom we have to do today in the earth. He's the one we need to acknowledge. He's the one we need to make sure that he is not standing out the side the door going, why won't they let me in? Why can't I come in? Let's find a way in ourselves to let us in. I'm going to show you today in the Scriptures one of the major reasons why he doesn't come in. So let's get into this. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians. Because this is going to happen, my friends. Whether it is bigger and bigger in my spirit as the days go on. Right, Tanja? This is going to happen. All right? Now, if the Holy Ghost manifested himself in a certain way all the way up through this century, actually the last century, from the beginning in the early 1900s, he would manifest himself in a way, and even we were talking about this, when he first came to consecrate the temple that was just built. When he came down, he came in a thick cloud. A thick cloud. What are you going to, and the people couldn't even enter into the temple because the cloud was that thick. We normally don't think of clouds as being thick. We go, well, that's a thick cloud. You can still walk through it, right? Not with the Holy Spirit. His cloud is so thick and heavy, you can't even get into it. All right? What are you going to do? You come into church this morning and there's just a cloud in church. You should go, glory to God. This is going to happen. This is the way He manifests Himself. If we press in, His manifestation is going to happen. And I believe He's going to settle down on this whole area and just shake it. They go, oh, the earthquakes are over in California. No, the real earthquakes are in Maine, in northern New England. Glory to God. That's where the real earth shakes and quakes because God, remember how He showed up? He came down on the mountain. What happened to the mountain? Fire, shaking, trumpets, clouds, lightnings, and everyone was scared. They said, well, I'm not going up there. God originally called all of the Israelites to go up the mountain. He said, I want you all to come up here and be with me once again and be with me. And they're like, no way, Paco. I am not going up there on that mountain. You go up and die, and that's why they thought He died, right?
That's right.
I mean, within just a couple of days, they're like, well, He is fried. Look at that. Moses went up there, hiked up the mountain. They figured He is one dead dude. And when He came down, they'd already built another idol out of gold, a calf, and they're worshiping it. They just came out of Egypt. What is wrong with these people? And that's what He said. Glory to God. Well, let's read our scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me ask you, where is your faith supposed to stand? Where is your faith supposed to reside? In the power of God. Don't deny the power. Right? How many, a form of godliness. So many people's faith. You ask them, what faith are you? What faith are you, sister?
Well, I'm a Presbyterian.
What faith are you? Their faith is in a form of godliness. But what are they denying? The power thereof. By the end of these meetings, by the end of this series, I am believing that we're going to have faith in the power of God. The vital, electric power of the living God. To do whatever you need to do to have Him manifest Himself and show up. And particularly to get us ready for the things that are ahead. Right? Your faith should be in the power of God. And one way that the Holy Ghost manifests Himself is through weirdos like me standing up in front of you. We try to get into the anointing and speak to you. Or Lynn, as she's ministering to you. The Holy Spirit, this is one way He speaks to people, is through teachers, through preachers, through people. Right? He speaks. The Holy Ghost is a person. He has a voice, and many times He'll use other people's voices. Many times He'll use your own voice of your inner man. And you go, my, that sounded an awful lot like me. Because it was your spirit telling you exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying. Your spirit was bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. And then some people get weirded out. Well, I must be God because He sounds like me. Well, no, don't go that far. Your faith should be in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men, not in the traditions of men. I don't care what your religious background is. It doesn't matter. When you become acquainted with the power of the living God in His Word. His words aren't just words. There are power. There's a power behind His words. The Holy Ghost wrote every one of them in your Bible. And as He quickens them to you, they become powerful. The gospel is the power of God, right? To salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, soundness of mind, salvation, the power of God through His Word. It's not just words. You know, you can take one person, and you can tell him the gospel, and he'd be like, goes right over his head, doesn't even get it. The next person you tell sinks right down on the inside of him. He becomes a new creation. What was the difference? One of them came in contact with the power of God that was behind the words. Same words. One was just words. Blah, 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 blah. Wah, wah, wah. The other one was the power of God. And we're going to know this. We're learning to know the power of God, right? Glory be to God forever. Exodus 20. Glory be to God forever. Exodus is very close to the beginning of your Bible. In fact, if you found Genesis, it would come right after there. Glory be to God. Which is good, because that way I can find it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. We are talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We have got to know who He is, how He thinks, what He does, what He wears, where He goes, what He likes to do. If you want to figure out somebody, wouldn't you do them? Let's say you were one of those, what are the people that, you know, spy on somebody else because they want to know everything about them, you know? Or they take pictures of them and they become obsessed with this person. They want to know everything they ate last night, and then they can put it on the internet. They ate a cheese sandwich. Okay? This is the way we need to go with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you why. Okay? We need to know Him so well. It flatters Him, and He loves it. And it's the first commandment, by the way. I'll start in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. What does that mean? If we're talking about a relationship with the Holy Ghost, what does it mean to not have any other gods before Him? Does this sound familiar to you? How many other times He says, bring the tithe? We're talking about the tithe today. The tithe is the first part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is extreme in this area. He says, if you put Me first, then I'll bless you. I think of Asa. Remember, Asa had some problem in his feet. He had like a disease in his feet, and it was severe. And he did not seek the Lord first. He sought the physicians, and he died. But if he sought God first, that's the implication of that verse. If he sought God first, I'm not against physicians if they're helping you. But so many times they just want to cut it off. Don't they? Well, I've got this problem with hangnails on my finger. Well, let's just cut it off. That's the medical treatment. And particularly prior to the 1900s, that was their solution for everything. Why, you had a lot of stumpy people walking around. Because they went to the doctor and they cut it off. All right? That's the solution. Foot looks bad. There you go. Asa didn't seek God first. This is a requirement. Now remember, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost. He is God. He's the God in the earth today that we have anything to do with. He's the one we do everything by. Jesus, when He was here, He did everything by the power of the precious Holy Spirit. Right? And then He said, when I go, I'm going to send Him and you're going to do the same works and greater. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to come and be in close fellowship with you. Exodus 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What does the word any mean? Well, you can have a few, right? Come on, God's not going to get upset about that. Had a few in the house. No, any. You shall not have any. Do you remember the children of Israel? They were going along, and all of a sudden this one lady had a little idol in the house. And pretty soon there was a plague broke out among everybody. Thousands of people dying. And they're going, what, what? And the Lord revealed it to one of them, and they went and they found it in the house. And they got rid of it, took her out, got rid of her. And then the plague was stayed, and they were all Once again, under the blessing of God. Why is this so severe? Why? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, you remember I told you a few weeks ago that a lot of the church has this image of the Holy Spirit as a dove? Right? They say that he came down in the image and form of a dove. That's what they'll say. No, he didn't. He came down like a dove would come down. Right here it says you're not going to make any other god in any image of any creature on the earth. And yet what have we done as a church? Oh, we put them on our things, on our windows. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. Really? Ow! We wonder why? We wonder why we're not having a great manifestation of the Holy Ghost in our midst. These things are big to him. Well, I don't think it's that big. Let's read on. Thou shalt not have any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or it is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. The Lord God is a jealous God. He is jealous of you. Do you know that? He's jealous of your thoughts. He's jealous of your time. He's jealous of what you do. He's jealous of everything that goes on about you. And have you ever heard that the church is likened unto a marriage relationship? The bride of Christ? He's jealous. And I'm not making this up. This is part of his personality. Not only is he easily quenched, easily grieved. The Bible says you just speak a wrong word and he's grieved. Have you ever experienced that? You're in the presence of God. You're prophesying, things are flowing along, and then all of a sudden somebody wants to talk about something stupid. And you just feel the presence of God go, ooh, and just diminish and leave. Why? You go, well, he shouldn't be so easily offended. I'm sorry. I didn't make it this way. I'm just a goon telling you about it. Okay? This is the way he is. Now, if we really want him in our ministries, in our ways, in our mouths and minds and wallets and lives and houses, right? I realize this message is going to get pretty thick today. You know, so sit up straight and get ready. This is just the way it is. This is how the Holy Ghost is. You want him, he's jealous. There's another verse. I didn't want to put it up there because I don't want to have too many things up in front of you. But he says his name is jealous. He's jealous. What if your husband came up to you and said, I'm jealous? What are you going to do about it? You're going to stop hanging around with all the other guys around, you know, or you're even with girls or something. If he's jealous, what are you going to do about it? What means more to you? His presence in your life? His manifestation, so when you open up the Bible, he's there, and he opens it up and he reveals it. He tells you exactly what you're supposed to do and where you're going to go, and then he empowers you to do it. I'm telling you, we need him in every single area of our life, and he's jealous of every single area of our life. Predominantly time, your thoughts. You want the Holy Spirit? This is the price to pay, okay? The Lord thy God, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. And we know, and I could go on at length here, and I don't think we need to, that people do make idols. Particularly in America, you go down into the root word of adultery and stuff. It means putting anything else in a higher position than God. People do it with TV and video games and all kinds of other stuff. I used to do it with drums. I remember God coming to me when I was 9 years old, sitting on the bed. I don't even think I was saved. It was probably before, you know, the time when you even need to get saved. But anyways, I was sitting there, and I had this brand new drum set, and I was sitting there looking at it. Oh, that's a brand new drum set. I just love that brand new drum set. Spirit of God came in my room, and he spoke to me, and he said, someday you're going to have to choose between me and those. And as a 9-year-old, I sat there and I went, well, do I have to choose now? But look at right there, the first thing he started saying to me, there was that hint of jealousy. Jealousy's not bad. We can go, and I hope to get into this later when he talks about coveting the best gifts. I'm sorry, brother. I want you to move in all the gifts, but you know what? I want a more. You know? I want to see, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the kind of thing that God hardwired you to be like him. That jealousy. Not coveting your stuff, but wanting it more. Have you ever heard somebody else say a scripture that you've been just loving for years? And you're like, and they come and they find it and you're like, oh, somebody else found it. That's my scripture. You can't take that. Part of, you know, that in our natural understanding and religious conception, that's weird. But in reality, that's how God is. He wants you to love him so much that you're jealous of all the things he does for you. You're jealous of the time. And this is where I'm going today, okay? Is that you need to be jealous of him to the point where you won't tolerate anything in your life that might offend him. You cut it off. You make decisions. I want the Holy Spirit on me and around me so much that if watching the evening news is a bothersome thing and I feel him leave me at that time, then I'm going to say, forget the news. And you'll hear his voice calling you more and more and more to him, and pretty soon you'll be consumed with everything about him. Nothing else matters. That's what he wants. Okay? I'm letting you know this. If we want the Holy Spirit, you've got to be first and foremost, have no other gods before me. He is jealous. His name is jealous. It's the first commandment. Everybody can name all the commandments. Well, I didn't steal and I didn't commit adultery. And really? Right? This is a form in God's eyes of adultery. How many times? It's got to be many, many times. I don't know. In the Old Testament, where he talks about the children of Israel are as an unfaithful wife. They go after other things. Go after this. Go after this. Right? He's jealous of them. What's the other side of jealousy? And we see it all the time, especially in the Old Testament. Oh, you're going to go after other people? Well, we've seen it on the news. Rage comes. Anger. Fry them. Moses, how many times he had to sit there and say, God, don't kill them. They're your chosen people. Don't fry them. Oh, I'm going to fry them. Look at them. They're over there worshiping that little stupid hunk of gold. It just, oh, rage. Personality of God. I'm not making this stuff up. If we want to walk with him, we're going to have to understand it's one of the first things he is. Talked about holiness last week. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's jealous. You need to be jealous. It's part of holiness. Okay? You want to, well, I don't know how to give up all my SpongeBob programs. Now, I admit, I like SpongeBob too. But if SpongeBob is getting in the way of the Holy Ghost, and please understand me, I'm not trying to get onto people's things here. This is going to be between you and your relationship with him. Because as a kid, and I've experienced this because I'm still a kid, but I've experienced sitting there maybe with a football game or something else, and I just knew the Holy Ghost was sitting right next to me laughing just as much as I was about the same stupid thing. Or playing with animals or something. He wants your attention and affection. That doesn't mean, can you do things together with other people? A marriage couple, what do? They go out every once in a while. They go to dinner. They go to a movie. They go to this. They're still spending time together. The Holy Ghost wants to do that with you. Everything you do. Go take a shower with the Holy Ghost. I do it every day. Well, that's just weird. He talks to me in the shower. Doesn't he? He talks to you in the bathroom. He talks to you in the shower. Do it with him. I don't care what you're doing. And if you're doing something where he is not there participating with you, cut it off. Say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I gotta go. Why? And it really has nothing. It's not a religious form. It's because you're in a relationship with somebody who is everything. Remember last week, the holiness of God? It is everything. He is everything. And when you spend time in His presence, you realize He is everything. He is the vital part of your ministry. He is your success in life. He is everything to you. He's your health. He's your ability. And when you come and you put Him in that place and you're jealous of Him as much as He's jealous of you, this is our part. That's flattery, isn't it? He's jealous of you. You should be like, yeah, God's jealous of me. But He's a person. And don't get on the other side of that jealousy. Glory be to God forever. James chapter 4. Most people, when you say James, they go, ooh. James is one of those books where, you know, you don't open it lightly. I hope I laid enough foundation there. We are talking about the person and work of the Holy Ghost. We need to know and want Him more than anything. Yes, more than anything. Well, what about yes? More than anything. He wants nothing else before Him. I don't care if it's a husband and a wife. I don't care if you're looking for a husband or a wife. I don't care if it's your education or any other thing. He wants you to want Him more because he's much better of an education. I hope to get into this next week. We'll see if the Lord continues to lead in that direction. The Holy Spirit is wisdom. And with Him, with wisdom comes everything. Solomon said, seek wisdom first. Once again, first. It's that holy spot in your life. There's only one thing that can be first. Is that right? Well, no, it's, you know, sort of first. No. It's when you run a race, the first one that gets over the line at the end is the first one. They win the race. Right? Well, he was sort of first. I was kind of first, maybe. You were way down the line. No, but, you know, according to the legalities, your shoe was untied, so I'm really first. Okay, that's just messing up things. He wants to be first. The first thing is holy, right? The firstborn son out of the womb, holy to the Lord, right? The first part of the income that comes in, tithe, holy to the Lord. Where's He want your affections? He wants the first part. Ooh, James 4:4-6. Glory be to God forever. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Man, does it really say that? Verse 5, do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? They put a small s in that one. In the King James, well, in the Greek, there's no capitals. And in other parts, they put capitals where it should be a lowercase s. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God lusting to envy against the spirit of the world. What's it going to be, people? We can't be the friend of the world and the friend of God at the same time. It doesn't mean we can't be in the world. It can't mean we reach out to people in the world. Otherwise, Paul said we'd have to be away from it altogether. But who is number one? Number one. It's got to be the Holy Spirit and your relationship with this precious Holy Spirit. He's holy to you. You have something holy in your house, you make sure it doesn't get dust on it. Nobody touches it. You put some of those red ropes around it. Because it's holy. Right? Uncontaminated. This is what the Jews always did this. You couldn't, you know, touch it with human hands. You just touch it and it's unholy. Right? Holiness. Part of holiness is the first. Where is your first affection? Where is the first part of what you do. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It's just going in the wrong direction. Whosoever therefore will, you have to will to put him first. This is the part that God wants out of you, your will. Will you be a friend of the Holy Ghost? What's hindering you from being the biggest friend of the Holy Ghost that he's got? What's hindering this church or people in this area from being the friend of God to where he just shows up and does everything? That's what I want. And when you put that first, what does that make everything else come? Not first. Second, third, fourth, fifth. At least second. You can put everything in a big giant ball and say it's all second because the first of my affection is for the Holy Spirit of God. And when anything else tries to bump into that first, you wipe it out. You say, I'm sorry, you're not first. Are you the Holy Ghost? No, not first. Right? This is simple, not easy to apply, right? But it makes sense in a relationship. A relationship. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. What does this mean? It means there's a relationship going on there that somebody is committing adultery against. And then he says it's between the world and the Spirit of God that dwells in you. This is a conflict going on all the time, and you have to will consistently to go in his direction and say, Holy Ghost, I will to keep you first. I keep you first. I keep you first. I know that you've got everything in my best needs and my best in mind, and I will to go with you all the time. Show me how. Keep him first. You're my best friend. Holy Ghost, best friend. Holy Ghost. Glory be to God forever. Luke 14, 25 through 28. I will try to round this up a little bit here. I hope that you're getting this. This is part of his personality. He is jealous of your time. He's jealous of your affection. He's jealous that you have anything in your life, in reality, that's not keeping him right 100% all the time. That's how much he desires you. He lusts to envy. That doesn't sound good in the natural, does it? It sounds like somebody would be weird following you around, taking pictures of you, calling you up on the phone, blah, 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 all the time. To the point where you're like, you're scaring me and you want to get a restraining order or something. This is the Holy Ghost, but he stays away and he just looks at you. He's waiting for you to call him in and say, Holy Spirit, I love you more than anything. And yes, I'm going to stop playing around with the things of the world. I want you more than anything. Yeah, but what will people say about me? More than anything. Yeah, but what am I going to do with all the stuff I just bought? More than anything. Doesn't mean you can't have stuff. Doesn't mean you can't have friends. But what is the most important? What is the holy thing? What is the first thing in your life? It's got to be this relationship with the Holy Ghost. If you feel that your relationship with this person isn't where it should be, and you sense that hint of jealousy there, what are you going to do? I better go spend some time. Right? I've been saying this, and you should be spending a minimum. Jesus said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? 1 hour! We want to talk about tithing. What would a tithe of a day's time be? Two hours and something, right? A tithe of the day's time. That should be the minimum, but I felt like I couldn't just tell you to do that. But you should do at least an hour. Pray in the Spirit for an hour a day. Your life will change. Put him first. Give him 2 hours and whatever it is. Figure it out. For the time of a tithe of your time, he will make the rest of your day just all that time you are wasting, he'll just fit it all in. And you wonder, man, it seems like I got all this time, extra time. Because you got God involved in your time. He said he will renew your youth. Isn't that good? Glory to God. The first, the most, the best. This is who he is. Luke 14, 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, I love this. Great multitudes went with him. And Jesus, you know what he's thinking? He said, why are you following me? Why? And he puts the finger on it, just like the Holy Spirit said to me that other day. Did they come to see me? That's why, you know, you may not see as many people here, because we had all the music. I knew people were coming here to see the music. So what did I do? What's the first thing you do? If something you see in line is slightly offensive, he's jealous of it. You want God jealous of the music you play on Sunday? I don't think so. What do? The first thing you do, cut it off and repent and say, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, I didn't mean to offend you. I feel him right now when I said that. That is why everything you do, we can look at it. As Ruth Heflin said that. She said, anything that you do that diminishes the power of God in your life or his presence, stop doing it. Anything that you do that increases his presence and power in your life, do more of that. It's pretty simple. That's the way it is with a relationship. You have a relationship with your wife and she likes a certain thing. Do more of that and you will get more from her. Right? Same thing with a man. Do more of that that he likes and you'll get more of what you want. That relationship just increase. This is, the Holy Spirit called it this, like that intimate relationship between a husband and a wife and the jealousy thereof. Right? Glory be to God. Did I read this yet? Oh, I just started. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. I could just see him walking along, and it just plops on him. Once again, Holy Spirit coming on him again like a dove, or just quickening him where he knew something. He turned around, and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Okay, now hang on a second. I'll explain this a little bit. But here's Jesus, okay, with all of these people. And you know he probably tagged every single one of them when he said, why did he go and? Because we're like, man, I don't care that much about my mother and my sister-in-law, but my father? Or, you know, or whatever it was, you know, he was tagging them. He's saying, why? Why is this? Jealousy. These people were following Jesus for some other reason, whether they're coming for the music, they're coming because, you know, the preacher is so handsome. Or they're coming from the coffee is really good. God spoke to me about that, you know. I was like, these are things in my church that I would have. I would have the best music in town and the best coffee. And boy, that'll get everybody in. They'll be like, oh, you got to go over there for the music and the coffee. Well, why? Because there's two things I like, right? Two things that I think should be important. And it's not that I don't think they should be important, but when they take an importance above people coming here, I want people to come here for one reason, so they can meet him and have faith in the power of God that they met when they came here. People that come in here, the Holy Ghost should just sit right next to him and say, and I've said this, Holy Ghost, I'm trying to bring you more friends. That's my job. Can I bring more people into friendship with him? Intimate friendship. What do you think I get out of that? Once again, in marriage relationship, that's what he wants. He wants all of you, Lynn. And if I can bring you into a relationship with him by some way to have all of him, what's he going to do for me? So really, it's all selfish. If I can bring you, Alan, into some way, contact with the Holy Spirit in a greater degree where you love him more than anything else in your life, then I'm going to get blessed by it. Right? So pray in tongues an hour a day. I do that to my family too. I make them pray in tongues. Let me hear you. Pray. Glory be to God. There went unto him great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, we're talking about coming to him. This is part of, right? I didn't make this up. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really sorry, but I didn't write it. He said it, okay? This is the jealousy factor in God. If you come to me, this is what we're talking about. We want a relationship with God, right? If any man come to me and hate not his father, hate's a strong word. I don't know if you know that or not. Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Disciple. And here's the word. You want to be a disciple? We can all be born again. Yay, born again. I'm a Christian. We're talking about disciple. You want to be my disciple? Then you're going to have a relative hate for everything else. What was the other side of jealousy? Rage. Hate. You starting to get this now? The other side of this coming and following him is a hate for anything else that is not following him. Right? Now, of course, we're supposed to walk in love. Jesus walked in love. So, to take this out of context and say we're supposed to hate right here. We're supposed to hate our husband and wife. It says so right there. I got scripture for it. No. In light of the jealousy of God in that relationship with him, and there's a hate. I hate it. My wife's not in the room here, so I hate it when she's trying to pull me in a direction other than where the Spirit of God is going. You understand? It's not that I don't love my wife, but if she tries to pull me in that direction, it's like immediately there's this. It's not that I hate her, but I have a hate towards anything other than where the Spirit of God is going. Is that making sense? Why is it? Because there's someone who's number one in my life. That's the Holy Spirit, and I want more of him. All the time. 24 hours a day. Why do you get up and pray in the night when he wakes you up and you want to lay in bed? Hates not his own life also. Right? Hates not his own life also. Oh, I hate myself. No, that's not what it means. It means you hate yourself that is not in line with putting him first. That gives you the empowerment to kill that sucker. Right? Something that you're prone towards, drawn to in yourself, and it's going away from God. Guess what? You get to hate that. Yeah! We're the first church of the hate. We hate sin. The Bible says that. God hates sin. He hates adultery. He hates putting away or divorce. He hates it. Why does he hate it so much? There's only a few things he said he hates. One of them was putting away or divorce. He hates it. Why does he hate it so much? Because he's been through it 100 billion times with people. Well, I'm going to go out this way today. I know. I promise to follow and serve you all the days of my life. Who was that? Mark? One of the guys that was with Paul. Paul said he loved the things of the world more than the things of God. And he left Paul out on the mission field. And it's written in the Bible. If you did something like that, don't get it written in the Bible. But once again, it's that jealousy thing. That what is first? What is holy? This relationship with him has to be holy. You have to treat it with jealousy, with a two-edged sword. One side is extreme hunger and desire for the Holy Spirit. The other is a hate for anything that might get in the way of that hunger and desire for the... And it could be anything, right? Could be anything. We live in the world. There's all kinds of things pulling on your time, pulling on your efforts, pulling on your attention, right? Learn to hate it. Hate anything that pulls you out of your prayer closet. I think of Paul Youngie Cho. He changed his name to David Youngie Cho. He's got the largest church in the world right now. 750,000 people. I don't know. Last time I checked. Either way, that's a lot of people. 750,000 people in his church. He goes into his office in the morning. He's got this place in his office where he prays. He goes in, he locks the door. He's in there for 4 hours from like 8 to 12. He has a secretary outside the door. He tells her, don't disturb me. You know, a pastor with that many people, how many calls does he get a day? People want his time. But he's jealous of that time, and he says, nobody calls me. I don't want to answer it. If the building burns down, I'll believe God to put it out. I don't care if there's a fire coming towards the door. Don't call me out. If Jesus himself comes, appears to you and knocks on the door, don't let him in. Now understand what I'm saying. He's making this holy commitment of his time to be with God. Obviously, if Jesus came and knocked on, he could walk through the door. All right? But the point is the commitment here. Right? There's a jealousy of that time. I'm telling you, you don't want to live with me if I don't get my time in the morning to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I get ugly. And that's not good. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm jealous of that time. I need my fix. I need my relation to know that I have that relationship with the Holy Ghost. Where he comes on me and I feel good again. Ah, it's like once again, like drugs. I gotta have that drug. Right? And then you can come in and ask me questions and everything's all right, man. Because I'm feeling good now. I have my prayer time. I got the Holy Ghost. He's on me. He's around me now. I know. I'm good. Everything's good. It's fine. Everything's going to work out. Glory to God. But if I have to get up in the morning and I don't get to put my time in and get my relationship established of the presence of the Holy Spirit, then I'm just not happy for the whole day. Why are you so upset? Well, I'm angry. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at everything. Why? Because the one thing that matters the most to me, I ended up offending or doing something wrong, right? Is this making sense? Or am I just... Okay. Glory be to God forever. All right. And his own life also. Hating his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bear his cross. Does that mean we have to crucify ourselves? Well, yeah. Is crucifixion fun? No. What did they do if they really hated somebody back then? They crucify them, right? That was like the best way to really get rid of somebody you hated. You crucify them. Well, you get to do this to yourself. Man, that's harsh. But that's the way it is. You get to crucify all of those things that you have had up on an idol. Right? That you've worshipped. That takes the place and prominence of God, the Holy Ghost, in your life. Then you get to nail it to the cross and watch it squirm until it dies. That's the terrible thing about crucifixion, I don't know. It just didn't... It's not like, you know, execution, right? Where they'd chop the head off. You know, that'd probably be a pretty good way to go because it's just, it's pretty quick, right? if there is such a good way, I don't know. That would be better than crucifixion where you just put a couple nail holes in them and hang it there out in the hot sun and watch it squirm. Well, that's what you get to do with your flesh. What do we say about the friendship of the world? That's not easy, right? Putting the friendship of the world up on a cross and nailing it there and watching everybody come by it and jeer at it while it sits there and struggles. Not a good image. But that's the way it is, right? And they gawk at it and they make ridiculous comments. Well, what are you going to church for this morning? Well, you're hanging out with those weirdos who pray in tongues? Well, you know, and any other possible thing they could think of to say... Well, glory to God. Just keep it up there because that desire to feed into the life of that flesh will die. Pursue God. Just keep pursuing him. And his glory will come on you and quicken you to a new life Every day. New life. Much better. What comes after death is resurrection. Glory be to God forever. Verse 28. And this is my question for you this morning. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? All right? This is, you know, I realize you're in a relationship now with you've been born again, you've received the Holy Ghost, you're in a relationship. But what I just told you this morning is severe. It's serious. We're talking about the jealousy of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to see in this church is Him coming in and being free to move upon every single person in here anytime, whatever He wants to do. There's a cost for that. Part of that's what I just shared today is jealousy. You have to be jealous of His presence and His power in your life over everything else, over all the calls of the world, over all the desires of your flesh. You know, and I'm not immune to it either. I'm a man, right? I'm just giving you the message, and I have to sit here and listen to it myself. All right? Are we going to pay the price to have a relationship with a jealous God? Remember the illustration of the ladder? You go up the ladder higher and higher, it gets more dangerous and more dangerous. You get really high up. If you fall from that type of a height, it's going to hurt. Right? So now's the time to make the commitment. Now's the time to say, okay, I can pay this price. If I can't pay it, then I'm going to believe God to help me understand what kind of cost it is. I realize you don't have a choice. You're following Jesus, and He turns around and says, if any of you does not hate, you know, and these words are just to slap people back into reality. They're probably following Him because He gave them loaves and fishes. That was the best fish I ever had. Tastes like it came straight from heaven. Right? Or they're following because, you know, their finger grew out. Now they can point at people. And they couldn't do that before. Or whatever, you know. A lot of them are like people that follow a fire truck. Well, there's a fire. Let's go see where it is. You know? So He turns around and just slaps him in the face and says, if you're not following Me in this jealous way because you want Me, there's no way you can even be My disciple. Go get your own fire truck. Right? Can't be My disciple. What do you want? Discipline is the root word of disciple. What are you going to discipline yourself to do? You're going to discipline yourself to His friendship. I'm bringing you into a place where you can be in friendship with the Holy Ghost like no other. And I'm telling you what, He's the one with all the gifts, all the power, all the ability to just rock your world. And everybody else's world, okay? This relationship of the Holy Ghost. You need to start talking to Him every day. Holy Ghost, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? Right? The Holy Ghost. As a friend, as a relationship. Jealousy. This is why He's just stayed outside the church for so long, is because they didn't take Him in this holy jealousy that we have to take for Him. And anything in this church that we're doing that might offend Him, it's going to die. Any pet doctrine, like I said the other, we're going to make a pet doctrine cemetery and stick it outside and bury it there. I don't care if it's me standing up and being long-winded. If that's a problem, then that's going to die. Okay? It's just the way it is, because I want Him more than I even want you. Understand that, right? I'm serious, and I've said that to my wife, and she didn't like it either. But this is the way it is. I've said this to you, Rich, you know? It's just the way it is. It's jealousy. It's putting someone in the place where they are supposed to be. And when we do that, that's when He goes, huh, I got a group of people here that are ripe for Me to come. I'm going to go down there and settle in on them. Get ready. It is going to happen. But you have to make the commitment. Right here, He's talking about counting the cost. This is the tower we're building. This is the war we're waging. Are we willing to pay this divine price to sacrifice ourselves, to sacrifice the friendship of the world and every other weird idea that we have that is contrary to Him? Any religious pet doctrine, I don't care what it is, we're going to kill it and we're going to make room for the glory of God. And He's going to come in and He's going to stay. This is what He's been saying to me all along. I want a place where I can go and stay. And when He stays, revival breaks out. Strange things happen to the natural people. People try to come in, they all pile up at the door. And then the news broadcast shows up and they go, "What's all this?" And of course, we turn around then and say, "If you don't hate your father and your mother." Right? So, let me read this. Which of you, intending to build a tower, this is our intention, to build this glory tower, sits not down first and counts the cost? So, you know, right now I'm gonna have you think a little bit. Let's consider what in our life is worth more than this relationship I'm talking about with the Holy Ghost. Is your family worth more? Your sons and your daughters, your wives, your job, your pet monkey. What is worth more than this relationship with God? I mean, the answer to me is obvious. There's nothing more. But in practicality, it's a difficult thing. This is why He's saying, sit down. Right after He told him, if you don't hate in relative importance, everything else that might cause me to be jealous. That's the price we're talking about, that it's going to take. And you got to continue on with this. I wish I could say, well, you've done really well for this hour while we're here. But now then just go out in the world and enjoy yourself. And then come back next week. It's not that way. He's a person. And if you ignore somebody all week long, then you call them up. Oh, we've done this. People before. And then you call them up and you go, "Oh, hi. Oh, I'm glad you called." You know, and you got that wrong sound in your voice, like, "I'm really not glad you called, but because I've been ignoring you for so long," right? The Holy Ghost is a person. We get all these attributes from Him, right? He wants you every day, every second of the day, every hour of the day, all the time. He's jealous about you. He wants your affection all the time. He does, right? So this is the price that it takes, that we get to pay. And we should not be all freaked out over it. We should go, yeah! He wouldn't tell you to pay for something you didn't have the ability to pay for. What if I had a really big present up here, and you all had $100 in your pocket, and I said, anybody who has $100 can buy one of these? You'd be like, yay! I happen to have $100 in my pocket, I can go and buy one of those, right? It's not a big deal. You just have to pay the price. It's the same way. And the prize, okay, let's put this in a different perspective. And the prize, the thing you could buy for $100, is worth $100,000. Right? Because first you're thinking like, what, like a VCR or something? I don't want one of those. No, I mean something that's worth $100,000 and you have the ability to pay $100 for it. Then you'd be all like, yeah! And if you didn't have the $100, you would be sad. Because you just missed out on a great opportunity. This is your great opportunity. The Holy Spirit will literally change your entire life. He'll bring you into His holiness. Holiness of wealth. Holiness of health. Holiness of life. Holiness of purpose. It is the best, the greatest of all things. And it all comes from Him. And I'll get into that next week, hopefully. But this is the price. Your $100. Your relationship with the world. Your SpongeBob programs. This is the price you get to pay. How important is that stuff? It's garbage when you put it next to the value of the Holy Ghost and His power working in your life. Right? It's garbage. Paul called it dung. Glory be to God. That's what it is. If you could say, oh, bring up your dung and I will give you this golden ingot. Big brick of gold. You'd be like, really? All I got is a piece of dung I got to bring up there? Yeah. All of the stuff in our life that isn't glorifying Him is worthless. That He is worth everything. Glory be to God. So let's just bow our head and pray, and let's just consecrate ourselves anew to the glory of God. Father, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, I'm doing my best. Thank you for helping me to bring people into a personal relationship with you that they can worship you as a friend. And we commit right now in Jesus' name to strip off things that may be hindering us in our relationship with you. I ask you to reveal to people right now anything that might be holding them back and keeping them aside from your relationship. Please, Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us. Please keep calling us, helping us to know and recognize your presence. And we worship you and we give you place and honor in Jesus' name.